Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Vandal Scoreboard. My name is Mark Warren.
And I am the one and only James Torman Aldrich.
James, you're back. You weren't here last week.
Yeah. I had this fun thing called an illness that wasn't COVID, surprisingly. Not surprisingly. I've taken 4 COVID tests. They've all come back negative. I'm what they call the GOAT. It can't stop me. But I'm glad to be back here to talk about Vandal Athletics.
Real quick, though, I wasn't able to confront you about this last week. You posted on your Snapchat story the RHA float and that they were your besties. You didn't do that about student media float.
You're my boss and you don't even pay me. So
someone pays you something.
Yeah, this is true. Also, my girlfriend is on RHA, so.
But James, how was your homecoming?
It was good. Kellen Dietrich saw my sign at least twice, so that brought me some joy. Would have been nice to see Ricardo Chavez kick that. I think how far do field goals go back from the spot of the ball in college?
I'm not sure.
I don't remember. Yeah, so it would have been like a 17-yard field goal on 4th, and I think it was 7. Idaho would have won the game if they kicked that, but I'm not bitter. It is what it is. Would it just been nice to have the little brown Stein where it belongs for another couple of years before we play Montana again? Mm-hmm. But, as they say, defense wins championships, or in this case, little brown Steins, especially when your offensive line is broken. Hopefully Eli Sanchez is recovering well from surgery. A couple other injuries on the line as well. But it was good. It was good.
Yeah. I will, if you would like, when we're talking about football, I'll let you go into more details about the Montana game and
Absolutely.
What you thought about it. But first, you want to talk about track and field. They had the Big Sky Championships today.
Yeah. I woke up at 10:17, realized that I had pretty much missed, or actually it was 10:15, I think, missed the women's race for the most part. But shout out to Katja Pattis. I think she's a junior. She took 8th. 54 seconds behind the winner, Elise Steams, who went and returned to her hometown of Missoula, Montana. She's a runner for NAU and took first place with a very great time. It was like 16:20 or something. But this is the second time in her career that Katja has been named to the all-conference team. They take the top 10 times from the Big Sky Championship, and those are who are named as the all-conference finishers. The women's team placed 4th by 2 points, very, very slim between 27th and 28th and 29th and 30th, which if they would have gotten across beforehand, would have taken 3rd. But the men also took 4th. Guy who I love talking about, Sam Fulbright, a senior out of my hometown, Lewistown, Montana, came in at 21st. He finished his first mile in 31st. Or 36th, I think, actually. So he was able to get up there. Lorenz Herman came in 0.6 seconds behind him. And then Tim Stevens crossed at 25:03 to take 23rd. And Shay Mattson took 24th with a time of 25:05.4. So 4 of the 5 Vandals runners crossed at the exact same time, pretty much. So that was exciting to watch. This morning, and just a really good weekend. It was probably 10, 15 degrees in Missoula with some snow on the ground. So a great day to run if you enjoy the snow and the cold. Sam has been running in that for his whole high school career. So for him to get 21st is huge for Idaho.
Mm-hmm. A solid day for Idaho. The NCAA West Region Championships are going to be happening November 10th, and then the NCAA Championships will be happening November 18th in Charlottesville, Virginia. So those are the next, the last big dates.
I have no idea how either of those work or if Idaho will run in either of them.
So. I don't either, but they're on the schedule.
They are there.
Moving on, swimming and diving, something that we don't talk that much about. They had a swim meet against Northern Arizona, who won the WAC championships 10 years in a row.
Yeah, this was, close for Idaho. I think it was, a 50-point differential or something?
176.5 to 123.5.
Yeah, so very close for the Vandals. We talked about this in our class the other day in sports reporting. You know, lost it in the diving section, I guess. I unfortunately couldn't make it this time around. But the women's swimming and dive team is fun to watch. You know, I had the opportunity to go and take photos of them a few weeks ago when they faced Grand Canyon University and Simon Fraser. They beat Grand Canyon on day one, didn't take it on day two. But Grand Canyon, I believe, was the runner-up in the WAC last season. So Idaho looks poised to make a pretty decent run going into or continuing with conference swimming.
Yeah, they have an upcoming game on the day this is being released against the University of Northern Colorado. That is in Greeley, Colorado. They have a game or they have a meet against Seattle University on November 11th, and then they return home December 1st through December 3rd for the Vandal invite. In that game against NAU, Idaho had 4 wins and 7 runners-up. So a pretty solid showing for Idaho. Moving on to volleyball, they have so far lost 2 of their 3 home stretch games. They lost 3-1 to EWU. They won the third set of that match, 25-18. They lost 25-18, 25-17, and 25-20. Expected loss for the Vandals.
Yeah. Idaho volleyball, you know, it's Coach Gonzalez mentioned this in an interview that he did with Joanna, the editor-in-chief for the Argonaut. You know, they haven't been able to get this kind of cohesive communication and cohesive play on the court. And that'll happen when you have different types of volleyball coming from 5, 6, 7 different countries. So, you know, it might be a thing where we see Coach Gonzalez maybe get one more shot next season to see what he can do. But I would expect some big changes in Vandal volleyball in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they also lost 3-0 to ISU, a game that I had said would be the most likely that they win in the rest of the season. So, you know, at most they get like one more win, which would put them at 6 wins in the past 2 years. Right now they're sitting at 5. That's not a good place to be.
No, and it's not that Idaho volleyball players aren't good. It's not that at all. You know, these are good volleyball players. It's just they don't have a cohesive unit that they can put out on the court. Yeah, that's probably what that's called. You know, and we can really compare it to, you know, Vandal football of 2021, 2020, 2019. You know, every season in their first few years in the return to the FCS, where they just didn't have that cohesive unit, that coach that really had an interest in the program and the community, in the students. And, you know, we've seen a different type of coaching style, really, with Coach Gonzalez than we've seen with the new coaches that Idaho has brought in the last few years.
Yeah, no, it is a team that you hope to see some change over the next few years. You know, and if Gonzalez can't turn it around in, you know, the next year, we don't know if there's going to be a future with him at the university. Just because you got to be able to win.
Yep.
Looking at soccer, you got to sit down with Argonaut sports reporter Jaden Barfess a little earlier today. But ahead of that, the soccer team beat Northern Colorado 4-1, a game that I said they had to win by multiple scores. Northern Colorado wasn't good. And then they beat Northern Arizona 1-0, putting them at the 2 seed in the tournament, which will be starting November 3rd, Friday. The Vandals' first game won't be for a few days after that, I believe.
Yeah. You know, Idaho did beat Northern Colorado 4-1, but shout out to NOCO for not ending their season without a win. I don't remember who they beat. They beat Eastern Washington. Shout out to the ghost in the side of the room for telling me to. I don't care what the score was. But they did win over Eastern Washington. And Weber State also got one win on the season against whoever that was, Idaho State. Thank you, Ghost on the Wall. But yeah, so Idaho will go and take on the winner of Idaho State and Portland State. And as you mentioned, you got to talk with Jane about that.
Yeah, so here is that interview.
All right, everybody. We have the one, the only, Jaden Barfess. He's on the soccer beat for the Argonaut. He's going to talk to us a bit today about the historic Idaho soccer season this year. Jaden, go ahead and just talk a little bit about, you know, third consecutive 10-win season. and kind of what we're looking at going into the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, for the Vandals, obviously, this year going 10-4-2, a very good season, especially with the amount of injuries they had. Star striker Matty Lasher was out for the first 10-11 games. Aria Lofton, another forward, got hurt in the Utah Tech game. She's out for the season. Kylie Hummel just got hurt. I can't remember what game, and she's been out. So, yeah, it's been a very good season for them. They have two conference losses, that one of them that they shouldn't have lost. The other one, they just got outplayed. And so, yeah, I mean, for Coach Clevenger and the team, it's a great season. To have three consecutive 10-win seasons, that's a great job for their program. Going into the conference tournament, James, you and I were there for the game Sunday. That game was probably the most important game of the season. Going from the four seed, having to play Sacramento State, to having a first-round bye in the first round is a humongous step. Being able to potentially face up with Portland State, are one of two losses in the conference season, and then maybe having a chance to rematch Montana. So I expect big things for the Vandals.
Yeah, you mentioned that potential game against Montana there, a team that Idaho beat 1-0 in the conference championship last season, but lost 2-0 at home this year. You know, they had the first-team all-conference goalkeeper, who I guess probably tied or was maybe one or two below in votes against Kira, who did get goalkeeper of the year. Just kind of talk about Montana, what they bring to the table, and what they're going to look like going into the tournament.
Montana is a hell of a team. They honestly have depth from top to bottom. Their forward, Delaney Lushore, won the Golden Boot for the conference. I mean, they are riddled with talent. Their coach won Coach of the Year. They really improved on their back line. They gave up a lot of unnecessary goals last year. The regular season game versus Idaho, they lost that 1-0 off of a terrible foul, and then Margot scored the PK. So they've gotten a lot smarter. Their midfielders gotten a lot better this year. Their forwards have always been good, with Skylie Thompson on the right. You have Ava Samuelson, which I love watching Samuelson play. She's really a very fluid piece in their attack. So yeah, Montana is definitely a threat, but I do not think they are the team to beat.
Yeah, you know, looking even before that potential championship game, I mean, Idaho and Montana couldn't even match up before then. But Idaho, as you mentioned, would probably most likely play Portland State there for that their first game in the second round. Yeah. You know, what would Idaho have to do to be able to take that win against PSU this time around?
Bro, I'm sorry. That Portland State game was an absolute fluke job. We outplayed Portland State in that game, and we completely deserved to win that game if it wasn't for two corner kicks that Portland State got that we could not defend that night to save our lives. But we – okay, so I'm going to talk about this later, about the keys to the Vandals winning, but the Vandals have to play their brand of soccer, and they really have to find that early if that is going to be a quick – transition type of soccer, if they're going to live on the counterattack, if they're going to build out of the back. I mean, but they're going to have to find their way, and they're going to have to stick to that.
Yeah, you know, Idaho, they had that senior night against NAU, that 1-0 win over the defending Big Sky champions. You know, what do these seniors, I think there's 11 or 12, you know, what are they going to bring to the table coming into this tournament?
It's honestly huge. I really think the impact of this senior class, Maddie Lasher, Margot, I mean, obviously Maya Hamilton, Peters, which I am going to talk about later. She is one heck of a player. And then really their experience. I really think Idaho is the most experienced team going into this thing tournament, and with the potential of Margot Matty and a lot of these people coming back, I really think this team has a special team in this tournament. And then next year, I think it's going to be their best year yet.
Yeah, absolutely. One player that you didn't really mention, I think she's a senior this year, Jade Sprague, who has been absolutely incredible for the Vandals, probably one of the best when it comes to using her head in the Big Sky Conference, a player I've really enjoyed watching this season. You know, who are those key impact players for the tournament?
I mean, for me, I honestly love watching and being able to really get to know a lot of these players. But for me, there's four key players. And I think two of them are inside that midfield. Jade Sprague, you talked about. I really think Jade is the best midfielder inside the conference. You know, you have the NAU, really good, number 10. Her name's blanking on me right now. Oh, Schaefer, Maddie Schaefer. But I really think Jade is like a colonel. She's a colonel of that midfield. She controls it. Then Hannah Alfaro. Hannah Alfaro is probably the most underrated player inside this conference. I was able to speak to her yesterday afternoon. And honestly, Hannah is somebody that gives Idaho the confidence to go forward because she does so much of the work. In the midfield, I have defender Peters, Alyssa Peters, being a big person with her assists, with her corner kicks. And the fourth one, it's tough because there's three players that I think would be a big impact. Kira, obviously, for her, Margot. But I think the biggest person is the striker, Maddie Lasher, because Lasher's been out all season, and not a lot of teams have seen this Idaho team at full go. Maddie Lasher brings something that not very many people know. She can play with her back to goal, and so she opens up the options. She can score at one touch. We saw it against UC Santa Barbara. We saw it two or three times last year. She changes games as soon as she comes in. So those, I think, are my four impact players. But I would say a close second would be Kira and Margot. Because, I mean, obviously, every single player on the 11 is an important player. But those four, I think, will make the most impact.
Yeah, absolutely. Maddie Lasher, you mentioned she's been out with injury. Even since coming back, this will be my last question here for you, I think. You know, since coming back, she's been coming in off the bench. Would you expect Coach Clevenger to kind of keep bringing her in off the bench, or do you think she might be starting to come into the postseason?
See, if it was me, I don't mean Coach Clevenger don't have the same, but I honestly would start Maddie, because Maddie just brings this energy and this that Carly, I mean, no offense to Carly Oshie-Williams, she's been great. She is not a striker, and Idaho's formation is 4-4-2. Four defenders, four midfielders, two strikers. And so strikers is a key role, and Carly and Hanks aren't really forwards. So, I mean, it might be a hot take, but I might also start Alvarez and maybe push Hanks back to the midfield, or have Hanks come off the bench as kind of like a Energizer Bunny. But we're going to need that. We're going to need the hold-up play, and we are and we're really going to need Lasher's experience. But I believe Clevenger will stay with Carly and Jaden up top.
Yeah, for sure. Any just final thoughts going into the postseason, or any thoughts that you had about this season that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't talked about Coach Clevenger yet this podcast. Coach Clevenger, I don't know if the listeners know, he is now the most winningest coach in Vandal program. He's a great coach. I've had the pleasure of speaking with him a lot this year. And to go into my interview with Alfaro yesterday, she said, quote, "We have a humble confidence going into this tournament." So I really think that everybody expects Montana to run away with this thing, and I really think Idaho is the team to beat, and if Idaho and Montana square off in that final, I think Idaho comes out on top.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Jaden, for coming on. I think it'll be a really fun tournament. Idaho being able to maybe rehash the Battle of the Domes, get another 4-1 victory, or that revenge game against Portland State, and then obviously probably hoping for that championship game against Montana. Thank you.
Yeah, so thank you. Thank you, Jaden, for coming on the podcast. We always appreciate it. Moving on, I told you you could give your thoughts on the Montana game, and I'm sure you have a lot of them.
I don't understand the offsides rule on kickoffs. I don't care how many people explain it to me. I don't care how many times you tell me that Hayden's upper body crossed the plane. It didn't help him at all. Big Sky Conference, I have been asking you for the last 3 years to look into your officiating staff. Figure it out. There is no reason that a game... Now, granted, Idaho should have been up at this point. Mm-hmm. Idaho should never have gone down 20-0.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't have ever been in the officials' hands.
Mm-mm.
But when it is in the officials' hands, the first thing that the official should reach for should not be the flag on the left side of their pants. And when they're standing right by Hayden Hattonen, could go, Hayden, by the way, the offsides will be called if your upper body is crossing the plane, mm-hmm. even if your feet are behind the line. And he recovered the onside kick, and then the flag was thrown, and Idaho ended up losing. It was a tough day for me. I hate the University of Montana Grizzlies more than I hate non-crunchy leaves in the fall. Mm-hmm. I really hate that.
Yeah, no, there's a special place of hate in my heart for certain football teams. And after this past, two Saturdays ago, the Grizzlies have been added to that list.
Yeah. I mean, there are three football teams in the country that I just despise. Two of them are high school teams, mm-hmm. Havre and Billings Central in the state of Montana. And it definitely doesn't have anything to do with the fact that they are Fergus High School's two losses this season. And then the UM Grizzlies. However, I hold a special place in my heart for Montana State,
mm-hmm.
the team that Idaho faces this weekend. A good program, a loving program, a group of wonderful people led by Brent Vegan, something like that. So much better than that Bobby Houck guy who can't even pronounce his own last name correctly. They have a quarterback named Touchdown Tommy Mellott,
mm-hmm.
Who I am very excited to watch play this weekend. Been waiting for this moment for quite some time, waiting for it long enough that I'm actually going to just stand on the field this time, rather than be in the stands like I was against Montana, because there's no hatred against Montana State. However, I really hope we win. My thought is that Idaho's offensive line needs to figure out how to be an offensive line in the next 19 hours or so, mm-hmm. something like that. And they're going to need to hold up well because Montana State has a good defensive line. They have an incredible pass game. Their quarterbacks are two of – Sean Chambers is the second best runner in the Big Sky Conference behind Anthony mm-hmm. Woods. I don't want to ramble. I'll let you talk a little bit about this game if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, something that I mentioned in last week's episode is Idaho has to figure out how to stop the run. In the game against Sac State, MSU had 328 rushing yards. That's scary.
They've been held below 300 once this season.
Yeah.
It was 211 against South Dakota State, which they lost on a controversial call, I guess. Granted, Sean Chambers was in front of the line and the receiver was out of bounds, but Idaho has had trouble stopping running quarterbacks forever. It's mm-hmm. kind of the kryptonite of Idaho football is opposing running quarterbacks.
Yeah. I think those are the two big things. Offensive line play, because it was really bad against Montana, 6 sacks. And it's been bad all season. And then stopping the run. Two things that you have to do if you want to win football games, no matter what. And it has been two of the biggest struggles for this Vandal team.
Absolutely.
All season.
I would also mention establishing a run early will be crucial for Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they can get Anthony Woods going for, 100, 150 yards, and then Nick Romano for even maybe 50 to 100 yards,
mm-hmm.
They'll be more poised to win this game. Than they will be if Giovanni McCoy has to throw 30 to 40 passes for 340 yards again.
Yeah, no, being able to play the game at your pace, right? That's what running does, and that can really give the Vandals the edge. Another big thing is the FCS. Was it the football committee released their top 10 poll?
Yeah.
And the Vandals were 7th on it.
Yeah, so Idaho, this is the poll that really matters. You know, you mm-hmm. can look at the coaches' poll, which is put together by coaches who don't watch FCS football, or you can look at the media poll, which is put together by about 5 people who watch FCS football and a whole bunch of other people who don't. And, you know, Idaho is ranked, I think, 9th in the media poll, 8th in the coaches' poll. Mm-hmm. Montana State is ranked number 2 in both. Montana is ranked way higher than they should be, even though they did beat Idaho. It is going to be a really, really important game for Idaho for them to at least keep this one close.
Yeah. I believe you put out a tweet in the past few weeks that MSU has always kind of struggled in the Kibbe Dome.
Yeah, so I looked up this stat earlier. Unfortunately, the article hasn't been published yet, so I can't look directly at it. I believe Idaho has only lost 7 games at home against Montana State in the 45 times that they've played.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've only lost 15 overall. So Montana State has historically struggled against the Vandals. You look back 2 years ago when Idaho went 4-7. Their biggest win was against Simon Fraser, who doesn't even have a football program anymore. And they kept it close with MSU. They only lost 14-10, and that was with Paul Petrino at the helm in Bozeman, one of the hardest places on the planet to play. I think they've now won 25 or 26 some odd straight home games. They have the best home stretch in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So Montana State is a good team that plays very well at home, but has struggled on the road. They barely lost to SDSU, but as Coach Eck mentioned in his press conference on Monday, it was a lot of the noise got to Montana State. Mm-hmm. They had 9 false starts against the Jackrabbits. I almost said Bison. That's not the right team. That would make SDSU fans mad. They had 9 false starts, and there were multiple times where they probably could have got into scoring range, but the crowd made a difference. And that's exactly what Idaho is going to have to do this weekend. I'm talking to the Vandalizer specifically right now.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for taking the boomsticks away, because we don't know how to use those. Also, how difficult is it to look at Javonte McCoy when he's waving his arms telling you to be quiet, or look at any of the massive offensive linemen staring you in the eyes telling you to shut up, and then you're still as loud as you are when Idaho's on defense? And so that's going to honestly be the biggest thing, is if mm-hmm. Vandal fans can shut the heck up when Idaho is on offense, I think we can win this game. If mm-hmm. Idaho fans are causing Idaho to make unnecessary mistakes and unwarranted mistakes, like false starts, encroachments, whatever, mm-hmm. Montana State's going to run away with this game easily.
Yeah, I mean, I do think the Vandalizers will be the deciding factor. It is a sold out game. The student section is not sold out.
Yeah, I also want to mention the sold-out factor of this game. Tickets were being held specifically for students to get guest tickets.
Mm-hmm.
So there are still guest tickets available, still student tickets available. Montana was sold out.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me how many people sit in the Kibbe Dome?
I believe there's 15,000 capacity.
16,000 capacity.
16,000.
You know how many people weren't in the Kibbe Dome that apparently bought tickets?
About 2,000.
About 2,000. So if you're going to sell out the dome, it might be nice if you could slow down the beers a little bit before noon and get your butts into the dome so that we can win this game, move up to number 2 in the country, and remind people that the Idaho Vandals are a darn good FCS program.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's obviously huge implications from this game. If the Vandals win this game, I think they're a guaranteed playoff lock. And they are they're they're going to be a top five team.
Absolutely. I mean, even if they don't win this game, if they lose to Montana State, mm-hmm. win out, still a playoff team. You know, the Big Sky is the best conference in the country. Mm-hmm. And I'm not taking that back, MVFC fans. The Missouri Valley, or whatever you call yourselves, it has four top teams, maybe five. And, you know, you have NDSU and SDSU that are good every season. NDSU might not even make the playoffs this year, though. So at least our dynasty teams continue to make the playoffs this season. But this will be a huge game for Idaho. You know, if mm-hmm. they lose to Montana State, but they, you know, go and dominate Northern Colorado by 50 like they should. You know, NOCO is going to go into next week 0-8. They play Weber State, who looking back on, was an idiot for thinking that Weber State was going to be our one loss this season. Weber State's not as good this year. Then they play Idaho State. Luckily, that game's at home. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think there's a game between Weber and Idaho.
There is. I want to say it's Cal Poly.
No, we already played Cal Poly.
We already played Cal Poly.
There's not? Okay. There are only three games? Yeah, there's actually only three games left after this week. Montana State and then NOCO, Weber, and Battle of the Domes against Idaho State, who has been, like I said, a very sneaky program this mm-hmm. year.
Sitting at 3-4 right now.
Yeah, and they kept it close against Montana. I think that was an 8-point, you know, yeah. an 8-point game. They kept it close against, was it Sac State? Who was the other team they kept it close to? No, Weber. Some team kept it close against Sac. But you know,
they had that big comeback against Eastern.
Eastern, I think they were down 40-14 or something. Like came that. Back to win it.
Mm-hmm.
Showed other teams in the state of Idaho what it looks like to come back from a big deficit. Shout out to BSU as well for not knowing how to hold on to a uh-huh. lead. They could take some tips from the team down south a little bit. But you know, it will be a good brand of football for Idaho for the next 4 weeks, or it needs to be a good brand of football. Mm-hmm. It would be fun to watch if Javonnie McCoy has some blockers in front of him, mm-hmm. if Anthony Woods can get his legs churning, if Keyshawn James Newby can continue to get off the edge and dominate like he has all year. It could be a very fun 4 weeks for Idaho football. It could be a very depressing day today for Idaho football, but you know, if Idaho wins today, lock for the playoffs most likely, mm-hmm. unless they decide that they're going to beat the number two team conference and then crap the bed, or number two team in the country. But I don't see that happening. I fully see Montana State possibly winning this game, not by a lot, but you know, we saw what they mm-hmm. did against Sac State, where Tommy Mellott came in and reminded people why he's the best quarterback in the Big Sky Conference, and relegated Sean Chambers back to that number two on the depth chart spot.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're getting further into the year. First snow happened. Basketball season is approaching, James.
It is.
It's November 6th, I believe. The men's first game is against WSU over in Pullman. 8 p.m. tip-off. The women play Walla Walla at home.
Yes.
What are your thoughts about these basketball programs ahead of the season?
In the 2 minutes that I have before my parking runs out, I think that Alex Pribble was the best option and the best thing to go forward with Idaho basketball. I think letting John Newley go and coach in Australia is going to be a great thing for Vandal women's basketball, bringing in Carrie Amy. You know, I don't see the men winning their first game. You know, I would like to see that, you know, whole revenge game. Isaac Jones jumps back across the border and, you know, you got the big storyline there. But, you know, I don't think Idaho is quite at a point where they can beat a Pac-12 team to open the season.
Mm-hmm.
However, the women should win by, I don't know, is it possible to win by 200 points?
Sure.
'Cause that might just happen.
Well, I'm sure we will dive more into basketball in the coming weeks.
Absolutely.
But thank you all so much for listening.
I want a prediction for Montana State.
Oh, a prediction for Montana State.
Yes.
You give yours first.
Okay,
and then I'll
so
give
my
mine.
Prediction is it's going to be 31-28. Idaho's going to hit or get to 31 points Montana State's 6'9" kicker is going to come out to attempt a 52-yarder, and it's going to go so far right that it lands in some 3-year-old's lap sitting in the front row of section, I think it's 13.
Okay, I'm going to go 28-25, a 25 score, not normal in football. I'm going to predict a 25 score, 28-25 Idaho, just because I want Idaho to win, and so I'm going to just put that energy out there.
Fair enough. All right.
Thank you all so much for listening. I've been Mark Warren.
And I'm James Torman Aldrich.
You can follow me on X at MarkWarren1832.
You can follow me on X at JamesAldrich25. You can also donate for me to be able to pay for parking for this darn place. Thank you all so much for listening.
Goodbye, everyone.